process of getting things worked out in the sanctuary with a couple of those units going down, I heard. And we'll be in here for tonight. Nice and cool. And I like it when it's nice and cool. I don't know about you, but it has been very hot outside. And so we just need to just be careful and consider that when you're out and about. That is so hot, and they got a heat advisory and all of that. And you can get sick quick if you ain't careful. And especially if you're outside working in the yard or doing something, you got to be careful. But anyways, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. Everybody been having a good week so far? Okay, that's good. That's good. We'll go ahead and jump right into things this evening. And I do want to mention Brother Leonard Palmer first. Miss Dolores called me today, and she told me I could share this news. But what's taking place is they went to the doctor for Brother Leonard, you know, stage four liver cancer, and they did a blood test, took some blood, did some kind of blood work, and they're waiting on the results of that blood work. Now, from what I understand, that blood work has to register at a certain mark. And if it registers at a certain mark, then he will receive some kind of immune therapy, something like that. They'll do that, I think she said, 16 hours a week for like 3 weeks. And they said if that doesn't work, then he has about 21 weeks to live. Of course, and she told me to say that. She told me to be honest. She wants the prayers, her and Brother Leonard. And 21 months, is it? I believe 21 months is the right duration that she mentioned, 21 months. And if the blood work doesn't register at that certain mark, then there's, you know, the doctor said, well, it's, you know, it's in God's hands. Leonard's in God's hands. So I had prayer with him on the phone, tried to encourage him a little bit, but they could definitely use our prayers tonight. And, of course, Miss Dolores with her heart condition, wearing a heart monitor. I don't know if she still has it on or not, but they're still trying to figure out what's going on with her. So just remember them in prayer, if you would. And let's remember our children's home. They're all downstairs and getting ready to have their lesson. So remember them and the teachers, Miss Christy and the toddlers or the younger ones. James and Shirley Townsend, come to find out, I made a post. I put this on Facebook a couple of days ago, but Brother James doesn't have a heart blockage. Basically, he was deficient, I believe it was. Somebody help me remember. Iron, thank you. Thank you, iron deficiency. And so they got back from the doctor yesterday, and they got that regulated, I believe. So let's pray for that. Pray for Brother James and Miss Shirley as Brother James tries to get stable. But let's remember Don and Carla Rich over in Peru, all of our missionaries, home and abroad. Miss Carla's brother, Don. Is he still hospitalized? Still hospitalized. Trill Norton, his friend Bill Zimmerman. Trill Norton's wife, Connie, her heart issues. Diane Ely, which was here on Saturday at the singing, and she's getting ready to talk to the doctor. I think maybe she was supposed to talk Monday to the doctor and about her back condition. And so we're waiting to hear from her. Hey, come on in. And so we're waiting to hear from her, and if we don't soon, we'll reach back out to her. But so remember the Evelys in your prayers. Miss Claudia, of course, let's remember her, Brother Harold, the Dalys, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, the McCrickards. I heard Miss BJ, did you and Miss Claudia make a visit over there today and dropped off what's it, a birthday card for Brother? Yeah, yeah. For, Right, because of their immunity and all. Yeah. But thank you for doing that. I know that that meant a lot to them. Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook. And so let's just remember all of these. Of course, Kevin, he was sick Sunday night. But also, there were several ending up, I think, that were sick. Just something going on with cold or upper respiratory. Are all they feeling, them feeling better? Good, good. That's good, that's good. All right, well, just remember this coming up Sunday is going to be Youth Sunday, the morning and the evening time. So we're looking forward to that. And maybe someone has a prayer request, an update. Good to see Brother Bobby tonight back with us, doing better, I hope. Miss Leah.
Mm-hmm. He's had a fever since Sunday, and this morning he woke up with a rash. So he's supposed to have blood work Friday or Monday to see if he has the West Nile virus.
I heard about that, that West Nile being out. Yeah. Let's remember him in prayer. I heard, in fact, it was on the news yesterday. They said somewhere around 10,000 people every summer here in Georgia get West Nile. And so, but we'll remember him, and just remember when you go out and about, just can't live in fear, but, you know, just take precaution as much as you can.
Work for me.
Remember, work for a son.
Yeah.
Cassie, did you have a hand? Sure will.
As my mom's only brother left, and I mean, I'd love to spend more time with him, but I can always bring myself to
bed. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
The part of the neck is 96-97% blocked. They want to go in and do it, but then they're afraid. The surgeon told my aunt, at his age, 1 out of 5 people survive the surgery, so they're against that too. So she just really.
That's right. Thank you for sharing this. We'll definitely pray. Anyone else? Let's remember Miss Claudia tonight. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Anybody else? Jeff?
Yeah, our neighbor Sonia. She's had a lot of health issues. And she asked us to go over and pray with her about some of her issues. And so we want to continue.
We sure will. We'll remember her in prayer. Anybody else?
Oh, I remember my brother and his fiance.
Yes.
Since they've been coming, we've been talking like every night. He's just so pumped up. They were supposed to go somewhere this weekend, and they canceled it because he said he didn't want to miss church.
Wow.
So
it's amazing.
It's like, you know, God's really answering his prayers. And
yeah, he is.
He was talking about you last night, so your ears were not being burned. You know?
They were. Thank you. Yeah, he sure will. And we, yeah. Well, we appreciate that, and so encouraging seeing them, and And then they had some visitors with them on Wednesday, and hopefully they'll be back. So we're going to call them, actually. I still got the visitor's card in my coat that I wore Sunday morning, and so I'm going to give them a call tomorrow. Y'all like my crystal? I'll make a necklace and just hang it right here. Ceylon said, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "I dug a 50-foot hole in my backyard and went digging." No. Gave it to me. And, you know, talking about heaven on Sunday night and all, and the jasper and the transparent walls of heaven and all, that's really a nice touch tonight to bring that. So, yeah. Nobody take my crystal. All right. Is that all we have? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. We'll have a time of prayer together. And you can pray silently if you like. Normally, we go down to the front at the altar, but because of the air being out, we won't. I'll lead us in prayer tonight, but just feel free to pray how you like. Dear Lord, we come tonight taking our time in prayer. We're not trying to rush the prayer moment. This is Wednesday night prayer meeting, we call it. Because, Lord, we're living in a world where there's challenges every day. It is so draining living in this world at times. So, God, we're here. We've assembled ourselves together. God, we are in this room. We are wanting to connect with you, Lord. Like we shared on Sunday morning, God, we call unto you. We're told if we call unto you that you'll answer us and show us great and mighty things that we're not even aware of. And so tonight, Lord, we call upon you with all of our faith, all of our spiritual power that we possibly could have within the human self. And God, we ask that you'd do a miracle in the life of Leonard and Dolores. We pray that you would touch the doctors, the medicine. We pray that the blood work will be where it needs to be so he can receive the immune therapy. And we pray that it will work. And God, we pray that you'll extend his life for several years. Their family's been through so much already, Lord, and like a lot of us have and a lot of people have, we just pray for a special touch for them tonight. And for everyone we called out on the prayer list, Lord, we just pray for our missionaries abroad and home, and little Caleb, Lord, going through what he's going through. We thank you for touching Brother Bobby that's back with us tonight. God, I know he's had a rough time dealing with some things in his body. And Lord, I just thank you for all of these who've come tonight out in this hot weather to just be encouraged, be sharpened, strengthened, and to get a word from you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll do exactly that tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts. Be with our young people downstairs and teachers. Father, be with those that are not here, that want to be here but can't be here. And we do pray for this coming up Youth Sunday, that you would bless it from start to finish. Give us a wonderful day. We're so proud of our young people. Lord, we love you tonight, and we thank you for the things that you have done, the things that you're doing now that we may not even be aware of, and the things that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Brother Jeff, you got one for us? I believe you do. upon Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I remember when Jesus over there in the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples were with him after they seen him in his glory. The Bible says that they saw no one except Jesus only. And that's the goal, that's the target, is for us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Of course, Peter getting out of the boat, walked on water. Anybody have any water walking experiences in your life? Walking on your circumstances when they were walking on you? But then, of course, the wind began to blow and it was a boisterous wind. Peter got his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. But yet, he called out to the Lord and the Lord saved him. And that was a quick reach. But we get the quick reaches whenever we're out of the boat. The quick reaches of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you, Brother Jeff. Appreciate that song tonight. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 for a moment tonight. 1 Corinthians 13. And I do want to read verse number 1 through 3. 1 through 3 is what I want to read tonight. I do want to bow for just a quick word of prayer again. And we're going to try to develop some thoughts and bring a challenge to you. As I was challenged today, we had some challenging words last Wednesday night talking about going the extra mile. And so we're going to have some more challenging words tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Be with us in the next few moments. Help us, Lord, rightly divide your word. We just pray, God, for a clear head and a calm heart. Help me, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, connect to the hearts of your people. They've come tonight to feel you, to hear from you. Those watching on Facebook and listening on the internet as well, we love you tonight. Use your word. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. That's reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1 through 3. I want to say this in my introduction tonight to the lesson. Paul speaks of three different things in these verses that are good. Verse 1, he speaks of words. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That's a good thing. Verse number 2, he speaks of wisdom. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. That's a good thing. Verse number 3, he speaks of works. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. These things, in principle, are a good thing. And not only does he mention these three good things, but Paul also mentions three things in these verses that speaks of emptiness. Notice verse number 1 at the latter part of that verse. He says, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Verse number 2, that latter part says, I am nothing. Verse 3, it profiteth me nothing. And so tonight it is possible to do good things and feel empty at the same time. Again, he mentions his words in verse 1, he mentions his wisdom in verse 2, and he mentions his works in verse 3. But it's something at the end of each verse he mentions either, I am becoming like this, I am nothing, it profiteth me nothing. And so tonight I want to speak to you just for a few moments on this subject, doing good yet feeling empty. Doing good yet feeling empty. Now, I left out a phrase that's found in all three of these verses on purpose. If you notice verse number one, right in the middle, center cut, it says, "And have not charity." Verse number two down toward the end, "And have not charity." Verse three down toward the end, "And have not charity." This phrase that I left out on purpose, this phrase deals with motive. Why we do what we do. And so I think it goes without saying that the love of God ought to always be our motive in ministry and in life, because we can do good things but yet feel empty at the same time if it's not being motivated by love. Has anybody ever done anything out of drudgery? Oh, I really don't. And I'm not even talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about life in general. Oh, I don't want to go to work today. Oh, I don't want to go down there. Oh, I don't want to cut the grass. It's so hot. You know, it's drudgery, right? It's not fun. It's uncomfortable. But when there's desire laced in it, when there's motive, I want to, it's hot outside, but I tell you what, I'm going to cut the grass the best way I've ever had today. I don't care how hot it is. I don't want to go to work, but I want to go to work and make an honest day's pay. I'm going to, you know, be a good influence to everybody. It's all about motive. It's all about why we do what we do. And as believers, you know this as well as I do, we ought to always operate out of love, do what we do out of love. And so we can have the right words in life. We can have the right wisdom and works, but if it's not motivated by the love of God, we will feel empty, although doing good. And a lot of people tonight do that. A lot of people in life, they just go through the motions. They do this, they do that, and they just do it because they do it. And so I challenge us all tonight to really examine our hearts and ask, why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we coming to church? Why are we reading our Bibles? Why are we praying? Are we doing it because of a religious exercise, or are we doing it because we want to make an impact or influence somebody? And if we're going to make an impact or influence somebody, it has to be motivated by love. It has to. We're not going to last if it's not motivated by love. First time somebody says something to us, we're gone. First time somebody says something to us contrary or something we don't like, we get upset, we get angry, you know. And so as long as we're operating out of love, then we can lean on that and we can not only do good but feel good. Listen to this. An actor was playing the role of Jesus in a passion play. As he carried the cross up the hill, a tourist began to heckle him and make fun of him. So Jesus punched him out. All right? The director said, "You can't do that. You're playing the role of Jesus." So he apologized. "I'm sorry, Mr. Director, man. He just really got under my skin." So they ran the scene again and again. The heckler was back and made fun of Jesus, and Jesus punched him out again. The director said, "You're fired, mister." The actor said, "Please give me one more chance." So he did. The heckler came again and heckled. Jesus grabbed his cross. He controlled himself and said, "I'll see you after the resurrection." Can you identify with this person who was the actor for Jesus? I mean, we try to be like Christ, but yet sometimes we feel stressed and sometimes we feel empty. And so the problem isn't so much what we're doing as it is why we're doing what we're doing. If this man would have realized and really sank in his heart and mind that, hey, I'm portraying Jesus, then he would allow love to motivate him and he wouldn't have listened to the heckler. So motive matters. Motive matters. We will always experience conflict in life. Stress will be there at times, but we must search our hearts and ask why we are doing what we're doing. And if we're doing it for the Lord and if we're called by the Lord, then he ought to be our motive. And so let his love continue to motivate us, and in return, we will be doing good, and we will feel full. Tonight, I want to look at three simple things. I want to look at the words in verse 1. I want to look in verse 2 at the wisdom that Paul speaks about. And then in verse 3, I want to look at the works Paul speaks about. And I want to look at these three words in relation to being motivated by love. Number 1, in verse 1, words without love are empty. Words without love are empty. Notice what he says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That phrase, tongues of men, is a reference to speaking all languages. He says, if I can speak, some say speaking in another dialect, speaking in tongues, as the Corinthians were guilty of, and not having no interpreter. But at the same time, it's speaking all languages. He says, I can speak this language, I can speak that language, and though I can speak that language. So the tongues of men here has to do with speaking all languages. And then he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Here he's talking about being endowed with eloquence and persuasion. He says, my words, I can speak many languages, and I can speak with many tongues. I can speak with persuasion. I'm endowed with eloquence. So Paul has many words in his vocabulary. He's a man that can speak many kinds of words here. And he says, and have not charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity. That word charity in the Greek is agape, which is a godly love, unconditional love. It's also affection and benevolence. And he says, though I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I can do all of these things with my words, and if I don't have benevolence, if I don't have affection, if I don't have godly love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now notice, if you would, the sounding brass here. The sounding brass is in reference to sound without soul. Sound without soul. But it also is in reference to something copper or hollow. So here's what I thought about. Someone who has words without love is of a sounding brass, as the Bible says. Hollow as copper, or sound without soul. I get to thinking about Charlie Brown's teacher. Mumble, 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 mumble. Mumble, mumble. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, that's what I think about. And Paul says, I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels. If I don't have love, if I don't have godly love, if it isn't motivated with affection and benevolence. You ever met anybody that, oh, they may have some eloquent words, and, you know, they may be able to speak other languages or whatnot, just have a vocabulary, you know, beyond comprehension, but they're not loving. You know what I hear? Mama, 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 mama. You know, they may have this big vocabulary and eloquence and all of these charming words, but if it's not backed up with love, it's just as a sounding brass, hollow. There are some educated people with hollow hearts, you know. And so there's these words without love. Notice what else he says. He says, am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Tinkling cymbal. This is a high sound. Ding, ding, ding. Y'all know I ain't afraid to do sound effects. Y'all ought to see me at home. High sound. When struck, it would make a high-pitched sound. Kind of like I remember in school, at lunchtime, the teacher would have a little bell, and she'd ring that little bell, high-pitched sound. Kind of like when you go to the front desk and of a hotel, or you go to, I don't know, a store, and nobody's there, and a little bell there, ding, 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 trying to get their attention. Ding, 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 ding. Some say these symbols were used in the Old Testament for worship, two symbols being struck together. Ding, ding. Much like a drum set we have in here or a tambourine. You're waiting, weren't you? He says, Paul says here, he says, though I have a language that is superior, and though I can speak with tongues of men and angels, if it's not motivated with love, it is hollow, and it just gives a high-pitched sound. It's those people who have great swelling words, but it's not motivated by love. It's like hearing that bell, just that high-pitched sound. You know, it's like that teacher on Charlie Brown. And so let us not be that kind of person tonight. Let us not be that kind of person. We can say the right things, but if there's no love behind the speech, it will lead to emptiness for the hearer and the giver. I heard a story one time of a woman writing to her ex-fiancé. She said, "Dearest Jimmy, no words to express the unhappiness I've felt since breaking off the engagement. Please forgive me. Take me back. Yours forever, Maria." And then it says, "P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery." She didn't have real love for Jimmy. She wanted some of that lottery money is what she wanted. Words without love is empty. Words without love is empty. And so, number one, that's what we see tonight. But now, number two, we see wisdom without love is empty. Look at verse number two. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge," I'm skipping the next phrase on purpose, "and have not charity, I am nothing." And so we can say Paul's talking about wisdom here. Prophecy, he is simply preaching. It's foretelling and it's forthtelling the gospel. Prophecy. "And though I have the gift of preaching, though I have the gift of foretelling the word of God and forthtelling the word of God," he says, "and understand all mysteries." Mysteries here is in relation to his prophetic ministry. It's able to understand and explain God's word. Paul says, "I have these things and I have these gifts." And then he says knowledge here. And all knowledge. Knowledge is simply understanding, or it's information. It's wisdom. So Paul was filled with knowledge. Though Paul was filled with knowledge and though Paul was wise and educated, if love wasn't his motivation, he said, "I'm nothing, I'm empty." You've heard the phrase before, and I heard it before, and that is, people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is a true, real phrase. And so prophecy and mysteries and knowledge is very important. These are good things. But it must be laced with love. Must be laced with love. And Paul says, "I endeavor to lace my words with love." Paul says, "I endeavor to lace my wisdom with love." All right, and then tonight there's a third thing. And that is, works without love is empty. Now, notice verse number two, the part I left out. He says, "And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now, works are good. I mean, it's good to have that kind of faith. It's good to give to the poor. But if it's not embodied with the love of the Lord, then it will leave you with an empty feeling. Now, verse number 2, he says, "And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains," he talks about here spiritual works. Spiritual works. Paul was a great man of faith, and he says, "Though I possess this faith where I could figuratively remove mountains, those obstacles in my life, and keep moving forward, nothing will stop me. If I don't have love, if it's not motivated by love, I'm nothing." And then in verse number 3, he talks about physical works. So we have spiritual works, now physical works. Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned," that's the ultimate gift, isn't it? Giving your body to be burned. I mean, that is a work that not many people will do, and I wouldn't do it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, unless it's my family. But that's what Paul says. He says, I'm willing to do these things. I have done some of these things. I'm willing to go the distance for the Lord. But if it's not motivated by love, if charity is involved, it profiteth me nothing. So works without love is empty. Wouldn't we love to have that kind of spirituality, that we could possess the kind of faith where we'll have a mountain in front of us and we just trust God with it, and we cast it on Him, we leave it alone, and we go on about our day? Wouldn't it be great to have a great kind of faith? Wouldn't it be great to be able to give benevolence and feed the poor and do all those things? All those things would be great, and all those things are good. But even if we did those things and we were those things and we had those things without love motivating us from God, we would be doing good yet feeling empty. And I wanted to say tonight in conclusion, I'm done. I wanted to say tonight in conclusion, This is not the only reason why a lot of people feel empty. I mean, you can be motivating out of love, and you can be operating out of the love of God and still feel empty. This isn't the only reason why a person could feel empty. This is just one reason. And so tonight, that's the lesson: doing good yet feeling empty. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You. I pray, oh God, that You would just use Your word. Lord, we're challenged by Your word tonight. And Lord, I believe everybody in this room wants to have words that's laced with love and wisdom laced with love, works laced with love. And in my estimation, everybody in this room has that. Everybody in this room operates out of love, and as much as I can tell, and I'm so thankful for that. But Lord, let each and every one of us examine our own hearts before You tonight and the rest of this week. And let us endeavor, Lord, to just take this to heart and make sure that we back up our words, our wisdom, our works with the love of God. We love You tonight, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right. Well, we didn't keep you long for tonight, but that's what I had for the lesson, so I hope you got something from it. And anything to mention before we dismiss? Anything at all?